Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for July 11th, 2008. This week, cosmic paranoia. You may not think about it sitting there in your cozy home or office or car or bus or wherever you're listening to this, but it is a violent universe out there, filled with hurtling asteroids, exploding supernovas, solar flares, and even coronal mass ejections. Today's podcast will shake you out of your complacency, and Suzanne starts us off with a report on a new effort to protect our planet from cataclysmic impacts.
On any given day, the odds of a large asteroid hitting the Earth are, well, astronomically low. But if it happened, it could wipe out an entire city, or even worse. That's why Iowa State University has created an Asteroid Deflection Research Center, led by aerospace engineer Bong Wei.
With my background in aerospace engineering, we are not going to propose some science fictional scheme. So we will be very realistic in selecting many options already available to us.
Possible strategies include blowing up the asteroid in space with a nuclear weapon, smacking it with a projectile, or using a spacecraft's gravity to slowly drag it off course. We will be working with scientists around the world. They'll not only model these approaches on computers, but also practice on small, non-threatening asteroids in space.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, while an asteroid impact would be a big deal to us, in cosmic terms, it's about as consequential as a flea belch. A supernova, or exploding star, burns 100 million times more brightly than our sun. But because this visible light takes days to peak, no one has ever seen a supernova at its birth. That is, until this year, when Princeton University postdoctoral fellow Alicia Soderberg and her colleagues were watching satellite images of non-visible light in a galaxy far, far away.
We saw the star in the act of exploding, and that was accompanied by a giant pulse of X-rays. And we now know that the X-rays is where most of the energy actually comes out.
She says seeing it was incredibly lucky, since a typical galaxy has only one supernova per century. Scientists can now use the findings to look for other early-stage supernovae, which could shed light on how new stars and planets eventually form from the resulting debris. Well, our sun shouldn't become a supernova for at least a few billion years, but it can get active enough to have effects here on Earth. Suzanne reports on a new effort to keep better tabs on it.
The Earth is surrounded by a magnetic field. Solar flares and coronal mass ejections from the sun disrupt this field, interfering with communication systems and causing power outages. According to solar physicist Terry Kuchera of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, the Stereo Solar Terrestrial Relations Observatory is revealing the three-dimensional structure of these phenomena and how fast they travel. It consists of twin spacecraft that take images of the sun from two different angles in space, which Kuchera likens to having two eyes.
With two eyes, you see a slightly different view of something. And in the case of human beings, our brain knows how to use those two points of view to really calculate instantaneously how far away something is from us. With two views with a spacecraft, we can do something similar.
She says information from Stereo will help scientists predict the effects of solar flares and mass ejections in the future.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, ever since scientists decided that Pluto wasn't a true planet, they've been faced with a dilemma. What is it then? Now we know. It's a Plutoid. The International Astronomical Union decided on the new category, which has just two members so far, Pluto and a larger object three times further from the sun called Eris. But astronomers expect to discover more Plutoids out there. As for the former planet Pluto, perhaps things aren't so bad. Becoming the name for an entire class of celestial bodies could be considered a promotion.
In other cosmic identification news, a website called Galaxy Zoo is enlisting sharp-eyed citizens in an effort to categorize hundreds of thousands of galaxies. Participants who visit the website at www.galaxyzoo.org get a lesson on galaxy identification and then sort through images from the Hubble Space Telescope.
Thank you, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.